Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, we pray everybody's doing well. Thank you so much, Miss Vicki, for doing a beautiful job in creating a wonderful atmosphere of worship as we gather in the Lord's house today. Hey, look at somebody and give them a wave and a real, real smile. And don't forget our choir up here, too. Wave at the choir. I think sometimes they might feel left out up there because look at those smiling faces. We're glad you're here today. If you were part of our online audience, you have an audience as well. You have Dr. John Cazito sitting right over here who can interact with you. Be sure to tell him hello and good morning, as well as those others that you see online there with you on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day that he's given us the opportunity to come together. And we're just so tickled that we have this opportunity to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a prayer, in a word of prayer as we begin our time this morning. Father, we want to come to you today. Again, we ask that first and foremost that you just fill this place with your spirit. And then, Lord, we also ask that you would help us to make sure that our minds and our hearts are upon you. It is so easy to be distracted by the many things that are taking place in our own lives. Each and every one of us have many things that are going on that rest upon our minds. But Father, for these next few moments, we ask that you would just help us to be able to put those things on the back burner, that we might concentrate upon you, that we might truly hear what the Spirit would say to us today. And we ask that you would draw us close to you. Lord, we also pray that if there is one within the sound of my voice that has never had the opportunity or taken the opportunity to put their trust and faith and accept you, that today truly would be the day that they would understand what life and eternity is really all about. Lord, we know that there are many, many problems and issues that each and every one of us have and we face, but today, Lord, may this day be about you that would give us hope for the future. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we have gathered, I know we've come into the month of February, and it only seems like a couple of weeks that we're actually going to be heading out, our mission team that goes to Cuba. I want to say this is going to be 20 or 21 years that we have been actually going and taking a group down to the Santiago area. As I speak for just a moment or two, you'll see behind you some of the photos that we are sent and the places that we go. You'll notice that these children, this is a school at the church in Ducaro, and this is how they reach those families in that particular community. But for it to be like a daycare, they are required to actually feed these children. I believe there's 41 or 42 children that they have at this church. So with these 41 or 42 children, every single day, so you'll see they have to provide for them a lunch. Food is very scarce over there. It has been for several years. It continues to be. That's one of the biggest issues that they have right now. But yet, by trust and by faith, they go forward. And so far, they have never missed one single day of being able to put a meal out there for those children. And some of them, that's the only one. I got to do a baby dedication when I was there last year. And that was, Joe, that's the couple that that the children, the wife there, her daddy was actually our driver back about 20 years ago when we were going. So they asked if I would do a baby dedication because I had done one there before, and what a joy and a privilege that was. So as we prepare, yeah, there are things that you guys have taken care of. As of last year, you actually were able to provide the finances for the meals for that school for around 6 months with the money that was taken. So that helped them out immensely and tremendously. That is a project that we continue to strive to be able to provide assistance in. And this is where the Lord touches our hearts and touches our minds. As we've mentioned before, all the way up till we get ready to leave, which is on the 27th of this month, we will be taking our Cuba offering. And what that goes for, every dime that you give goes to this particular ministry. If you put it in an envelope, you mark it Cuba, it goes specifically to support the ministries that we do over there. Those missionaries, our guys that are going, they have already raised their money outside of the church, so all the money that's given through the church actually goes to the ministry endeavors over there. That is taking care of the senior adult center, that's taking care of any maintenance that needs to take place there. We have also, as a church, supported the Awana missionary pretty much for the eastern side of the country. His salary comes from you because there's no way they could even get him a salary. So what we do is we take his salary over there and we fund them through the Eastern Baptist Convention. We will give them that money and then they give him a paycheck along the way. Without you all, without your giving, these things don't happen. So this is, I guess you would say, the gift that keeps on giving the whole year through. Now, we have an aggressive budget. Last year, I think all totaled, it was over $20,000 is what that was. Now, that also included missionaries' fees and those sort of things. But once again, we're just asking you to pray about what the Lord would do. Look at these kids. I know I sound like that ASPCA commercial, but this is real. These are children that need us, because in a lot of ways, without us, there may not be food on the table. And I know that God has shown up in some incredible ways, but I wanted you guys to be able to have a visual look at what your support goes to. And we've asked that you pray about what it is that the Lord would have for each and every one of us to do to contribute toward this. And once again, I think it's important to know that every dollar that you give through the Cuba mission offering, it will be going to Cuba. It will be used. We don't have administrative fees, as it were, when it comes down to that. So we're not taking this part out. Every dollar you give is going to what you see right here. We continue to support and work with the church at Ducaro. That's one of the churches that has been a staple in our mission endeavors in going there. They have children's programs. That's the one that had the music program in years past, as well as the retirement center. And then another thing that we're working on doing this year, when we are over there, we always seem to be over there when it hits for Pastor Appreciation Week. I wanted to share this story. I may have told you that we went way out. Pastor Donis has, he and the Lord are really tight. Let's just put it that way. And we will have opportunities to go and to visit with and to encourage some of these pastors. And we went way away. It was a little coastal town, and that we got there, and the pastor just really looked like he was whipped. And we went in there, and Steve Kelly, one of our guys that was with us last year, had a Bible he had brought in Spanish. And what we did was we presented him that Bible as a team and from Central Baptist Church, just to say, hey, we appreciate you. It's Pastor Appreciation. We want to know that we appreciate you. We are going to be praying for you. He broke down literally in tears. And then he shared his testimony. He said, I was up until between 2 and 3 o'clock this morning. He said, I was feeling sorry for myself. He said, I know that my people couldn't do anything in the way of appreciation. And he said, I was just having a pity party. And he said, I was just crying out to God. And he said, you know, how ironic. He said, God knew all along what was going to take place. He knew all along what would happen. And he sent you guys from North Carolina here to encourage me. And he said, I will never, ever forget that. And he said, this has given me strength for the journey. So the little things that we see along the way are the things that make this possible. So once again, one of our team members is an American Airlines Platinum member, which helps us out. So we don't have to pay for our first bag, and we don't have to pay for the second bag. And by the way, the second bag for each of us would be $200 a piece, but we don't have to pay that. So what we do is we carry as much as we can as we go over there. We're going to be taking items for the retirement center, such as medications and different things that they need along the way. So we need you to pray for us more than anything. And what we have to work with and what kind of ministry we get to do there is based on the funding that is collected through Central Baptist Church. You guys have always done such a stellar job. God has always risen to the challenge. And there are things we have supported year after year after year that we look forward to continuing to be able to support. But it's hard for me to even describe critical mass. I mean, when we were there last year, the power was out 12 out of every 24 hours. So, you know, particularly when you got guys like us that use CPAP machines, you know, at the middle of the night, all of a sudden you're like, because the power went out. So now it's actually even worse than that. And this past week I heard from Tom Beam with our state convention, who just got back from being over there. Food is at a critical shortage. So we just need to pray. We really need to pray for those folks over there. We need to pray for what God wants to do. We need to pray that God would provide us safety, that God would provide us a safe passage by way of travel, that he'd keep us healthy while we're over there, and that we would see his hand. More than anything, every time we go, we generally don't know what we're getting into, but we have to be careful to watch what it is that God shows us along the way. And every single time, he has shown up, and I'm just grateful for that. But I want you to know that you all are a large part of that, and this is just some of the things that you get a chance to see. That was our translator last year. The translator we had for 20-some years had chicken pox last year and wasn't able to be with us. So we had a new fellow, which he's not used to my preaching style. But at any rate, we were able to get it done and had a wonderful time meeting his family. So pray for us. We plan to commission our team the Sunday prior to when we leave, so you'll have the opportunity to see those folks. The team, it's a four-member team. It's myself, it's Steve Kelly, it's Ryan Anderson, and Mike Stone. Those are the four team members that will be going. So all we really have a chance to take is 50 pounds of a bag that we can carry things over there in. I know some of the ladies have done a great job at working on some things for the kids, for the wives, and for those that take care of us while we're there. And God is really amazing. And by the way, you've also supported them as well. They did a disaster relief thing when all those hurricanes that were hitting us were also hitting them. They started to do disaster relief. They didn't have any idea what they were doing, but one of the things they felt like they could do was provide mattresses, and they found a way to be able to purchase mattresses essentially for a whole community. And through Central Baptist Church's mission giving, we were able to get them the money to purchase mattresses for that whole village. Now that sounds big, doesn't it? That was $350 that we sent them, and they were able to purchase mattresses to put in the places that they were going in and doing mud outs and rebuilds and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of new ministry, and even those that have nothing will set back and do something, which is pretty incredible to see their resourcefulness and to see their love. And you know what? Every one of them has a smile on their face. They don't let the circumstances of their life bring them down, because their hope is in Christ. So I ask that you give. I ask that you pray more than anything, that you pray for our team as we prepare to go, that we have exactly what God wants us to have when we leave here, that we're able to take care of the things, and pray that God helps us to have our eyes wide open to see where he moves while we're there, because we're going to be there for a week. I think it's February the 28th, whatever that Thursday is, through March the 7th. So it's technically a Friday through Friday, but we have to leave on Thursday because we have to spend the night in Miami before we get on the plane. It's a domestic to international rule that there has to be so much time between those flights. So we actually have to go down on Friday, or Thursday night, and then we will be leaving out on Friday morning, and then coming back, we will be able to come all the way back through from Santiago to Miami and Miami to Greensboro. So we're doing our mission work in Santiago de Cuba. If you have ever heard of Teddy and the Rough Riders and all those things, that's all where it took place. That's where the revolution actually took place, was in Santiago. And so we've had chances to be on some historical ground over time, and God has blessed and will continue to bless. Pray for us as you give. If the Lord leads you to give, then we just simply ask you to find one of those envelopes or find somebody who knows what's going on. You can put it in there. If you put Cuba on it, 100% of that will go to our Cuba mission endeavor that's coming up this week. It is a very aggressive budget. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 is what we have actually had to have to be able to maintain the ministries that we have done over there. And like I say, each and every day I hear from Cuba. They send me these pictures. The church at Duke Arroyo sends me a message every single day and says, I'm praying for your church, I'm praying for you guys, and oh, by the way, here are our kids, meaning yours and mine as well. So we wanted you to have that opportunity to see those as well. So please remember those things as you endeavor to support the Lord's work as we get ready to go to Cuba to serve our Lord and Savior. So let's continue to worship as Brad comes to lead us.
Morning.
Thank you. Please stand as we sing. Number 14, praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please join me as we sing 52, He Leadeth Me. And let me mention that David and Donna continue to be out. They're still recovering from their illnesses, so we pray your blessings on them and hope that they can join us next weekend. He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We will praise him. If you got your Bible today, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. You know, it's been very interesting for me, particularly as of late, whether it's being in a public forum or whether it is being with friends, whether it's being with folks that are believers or whether it's folks that are unbelievers. But what I have found is that there are a lot of differing opinions in our days. Amen? There are a lot of people who just can't seem to agree on many, many things, and that includes biblical things. You know, you look, and I know that probably at some facet there are people who have social media. It seems like no matter what you look at today, there is an argument between two different sides of something, particularly when it comes down to things like politics or things that are going on or things that are taking place. And I have to admit that it's not just the unbelievers who are looking like a couple of alley cats at 3 o'clock in the morning fighting over a chicken bone, but people are just seem to be going after each other. Now, I will say this, and I'm not going to stand up and preach politics or anything because I'm not a politician, but I can say that when it comes down to what we do, how we act, and how we should function, it should be based on a biblical worldview. I think that would be, you know, the best thing to say for anybody. You know, in other words, what is a biblical worldview? What does that mean? That means that we function based on what God tells us to function. Now, a lot of people would agree with that and still find themselves in the middle of the cat fights. But the problem is, unfortunately, I have to say this, we have a bunch of illiterate Christians. We have people who don't understand the full counsel of God. We have people who I see in arguments that what they're doing is they are taking things completely out of context biblically. Yeah, I see it all the time. And when you try to make a point, when you sit back and say, well, you know what, you know, a God of love wouldn't do this. And I'm sitting back going, have you read the Bible? Yeah, because the same God that's a God of love is also sovereign, which means he can do whatever he wants, anytime he wants, to whomever he wants, and be justified in doing that. We know that. We know what the sovereignty of God is. But we also need to understand that there are punishments for things where people get out of line. Yeah, Israel was God's chosen people, but when Israel got out of line, God disciplined them, didn't he? There are disciplines that people in this life, you and I, have to go through. But you need to understand. Don't take God's word out of context. Now, I want to go over to a passage. It's Isaiah chapter 5, particularly verses 20 and 21. And I'm just gonna take them at the time. Now, first of all, we need to understand that what the spiritual climate was like back in Isaiah's day. Yeah, you get people who all of a sudden want to do, back in that day, what is taking place in this day. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We're really good in our day and age, as well as in Isaiah's, of if we want to do something, what we try to do is we try to bend the Word of God around our activities and our lifestyles rather than bending our activities and lifestyles around the Word of God. That is the reason why there are so many people in today's society who will sit back and claim what the Bible says and it be completely out of context. You know, it's like, I can go do whatever I want to do. I can do whatever I want to do in this realm because the Bible doesn't have a thou shalt not. Well, yeah, it does. There are precepts, there are concepts, and when you take the full counsel of God, you will realize that that is not correct. So we have to understand what the spiritual climate was like back in Isaiah's day. It's a lot like what you and I are dealing with right now. So the best thing for me, the best way for me to categorize this today is that there is a danger in redefining morality. Have you noticed how we like to redefine things in our society today? We like to give it a different title. You know, we like to make it seem not like it used to be back in days past. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. And it reads as such. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that your word truly would spring forth life in our heart as the Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to truly walk in a biblical worldview. Lord, that we won't get caught up in the world, but yet we would get into your word and that we would prayerfully seek you in the ways that we should walk and the things that we should do. And so, Lord, we pray that that you would bless us as we endeavor to do this today. May you speak very loud and clear to our hearts as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, as we look at and deal with these two verses, you know, one of the things is that Isaiah is warning against the inversion of moral values. We know what inversion is. Every time I think of inversion, there's two things I generally think of. I'll think of being inverted in an aircraft, which means you're upside down, or I think of an inversion table, which I actually got stuck on in a store one day. You know what they are. That's that thing you get in and you turn upside down. You got to know how to get back up or have some help nearby. But what happens is if it's something's inverted, it's turned completely upside down. And in Isaiah's day, as well as the Lord leading us today, we have got to be careful that we do not invert our moral values. Now, I'm just going to ask this as a Roy poll. How many of you all can sit back and say that over the past 30 years, you don't even have to go back that far, how many of you all have seen an inversion in moral values? They have been turned completely upside down from anything that you knew, from anything that you grew up with. Now, the sad part about that is you've seen that even among Christian people. Where are those things coming from? You see, this passage highlights a society that is losing its moral compass. It's losing its way. Everything is okay. And I'm gonna hit this in just a minute, but the problem is everything today has become subjective rather than objective. That sounds fancy, doesn't it? Subjective. Now, a lot of us know exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of like, you know, well, subjective means that's your opinion, you know, but I have my own opinion and it may differ from yours. And you may even have somebody sit back and say, well, you know, that's subjective. Yeah, that's the way you feel about it, but this is the way I feel about it. Here's the problem, folks. It's not about how I feel about something or how you feel about something, but what does the Lord say about that something? Particularly when it comes down to morality. There is a standard. Do you realize that the reason so many people do not want a biblical standard is because it is pure, it is true, it leaves no gray areas. And what happens is when I have the Word of God to lead me and to guide me, it doesn't pander to some of the things that I want to do that go against what God's Word is. We're starting to lose our moral compass. In America, some will say, well, we're not starting to lose it. We've lost it. You see, there's a danger of moral relativism is the best way to put it, where the truth becomes so subjective that people don't even see the truth. You see, God's standards are absolute, unlike human standards, which shift with culture and shift with opinion. God's standard is still the same. God, I love that passage. It says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel does not change. His commands do not change. This book has been around for thousands of years. It has been our guide. It has been our standard. But when we get away from the guide, when we get away from the standard, we go wandering off in places that we shouldn't be. Yeah, there are standards for everything. You need a compass. Yeah, I've likened it in two before where I remember at times you'd be up flying or something and all of a sudden the radios go bad and all the things, the navigational systems and everything else. And if that happens to you, pray you're with an old pilot. You know why? Because they didn't freak out in those situations. They'll go, radio's dead. what is it, Bill, V-O-R? They follow a V-O-R or something like that. I may be saying the wrong thing, but you know, follow the little needle out. That's all jacked up, you know. And most people would be like, what are we going to do? We can't get there. Old guy, he'll reach over and pick out a map. He'll look at something, and he'll fly by the compass. But you see, what happens is we want to take the compass out today in our society when it comes to morality. We don't want it to be in our presence. We don't want it to be that way, because then that way, if it's not, then I'm right, you're right, he's right, she's right, and everybody's happy when we do that, right? See, that's that subjectivity to morality that we are running into today. Think about it. Evaluate the influence of culture on personal values. I said a minute ago, how many of y'all have seen it? You have watched it happen. And there are times when you sit back and you hear things and you're like, are they really saying this? And then we use that term. I never thought I'd see the day when this would be, when right would be wrong and wrong would be right. But yet, we're living it out just like in the days of Isaiah. Think about some of those areas where we might be compromising God's truth for social acceptance. You know, I can see it in a lot of places where churches will actually compromise the gospel, you know, for the sake of social mores and social acceptance. I'm going to tell you something, and I hope it doesn't make you mad. God didn't call me here to be everybody's friend. God called me here to preach the Word of God. And let me make it very clear to you that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will cut you to the bone. If we wanted to fill this place up, let me make you a promise. We could fill it up tomorrow if we just compromise the Word of God. I would rather go out with a handful of people who are trusting in God's Word, who are believing in it and not compromising it, than a whole stadium full of people who are happy with each other. Plain and simple. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And wrong in his eyes hasn't changed with the social equilibrium. It is wrong today. And we have to understand it. And see, a lot of people would sit back and say, oh, amen, brother, I understand exactly what you're talking about. And the problem is we're so biblically ignorant that we're falling for the societal schemes. I have heard Christian people who sit back and they will try to defend something and they will take God's word completely out of context. And I've seen them be rattled by the ungodly side. And they've come to me and they've said, well, so-and-so said this. And you know what? That sounds right. Because they said that the word of God said this right here. The word of God said that God says we should love our brother. Yeah, we should. We absolutely should love our brother. But let me tell you what else the Word of God said. The Word of God said that as you love your brother, that doesn't mean you love the sin that he or she is participating in. And for some odd reason, 2024 society cannot wrap their mind around the fact that you can love a person but not love what they're doing that is involved in sin. You see, if you don't love me for who I am, then you don't love me at all. No, I love you, but I don't love your sin. Plain and simple. And oh, by the way, I have a good person. I am likening myself to a person who did the same thing, and his name was Jesus. He always called sin, sin, didn't he? Remember the woman at the well? I always loved this, and so many times people don't pick this up. When Jesus got done talking with her, remember what he said to her? He said, hey, I tell you what, why don't you go tell your husband? And what did she say? I don't have one. And then Jesus said, you have rightly said, because you have had five, and the one that you're with now is not even your husband. Think you're going to pull one over on me? Uh-uh. Jesus called it out, but he still loved her, didn't he? But you see, we live in a society today that says, if you're not okay with my sin, then you don't love me. And that is a faulty, faulty concept, particularly when it comes down to biblical things. See, we also need to see that there's a consequence for prideful wisdom that we see in our passage. Look at verse 21. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You see, Isaiah addresses the arrogance of self-reliance of people who think that they know better than God. Now, most of us would sit back and say, really? There are people who think that they know better than God? Listen, I run into them all the time. Don't you? People who think they know better than God. Their wisdom is derived from their own understanding, from ignoring divine guidance that we are given, and not taking on the full counsel of God. Let me tell you something. I can't stand Satan but because he's tricky. Satan is one of the great, he knows his Bible. Satan will beat you in a sword drill. Do you know that? He knows the Word of God, but he also is a master manipulator. He will take things out of context and lead us to believe something, and we'll say, well, it says it right here in the Bible. Well, what's the context of it? What is the full counsel? You know, that's kind of like that guy who said one time, it was one of my Bible professors said, he said, I'm going to live my life by the Word of God, and here's what I'm going to do. Every day, I'm just going to open it up, and I'm going to point my finger in there. And he said, what's the word for the day? It said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And he said, let me try again. So he flipped over to another, and he went, and it said, go thou and do likewise. No, it's not like shaking up the eight ball and seeing what it says. The Word of God is perfect and it fits together. Human wisdom apart from God leads to downfall and it leads to destruction. You see, the importance of humility and seeking wisdom from God rather than solely relying upon oneself. And I've said this 1,000 times. Please, please, please. As somebody who attends and is a part of the body of Central Baptist Church, don't ever go out and say, and you bring forth a biblical truth, and somebody says to you, well, where'd you get that from? Please don't ever say, well, Pastor Roy said that. Well, because Pastor Roy don't mean nothing. You need to be able to point it out in the Word of God. That's apologetics. That's why we believe what we believe. And the only way that you're ever going to know what that is you are going to have to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. You need to study it so that when you stand on it, it stands for itself. I've had some wonderful conversations all the way up until they start to favor me. Somebody wanting to talk your Bible. I'm like, okay, well, they said, well, the Bible says this. I'm saying, well, hang on a minute. The Bible also says this coupled with that. Oh, you're just closed-minded. I'm done here. I don't want to talk to you. See, that's that subjectivity. Satan even wants us to make the Bible subjective in the hearts and the lives of people. So what do? We have to acknowledge areas of our life where we might be dismissive of God's wisdom. We need to commit to seeking God's guidance through prayer and through scriptural study, especially when it comes down to times of decision-making in our lives. We have got to trust on God. He is going to be there. The world is not going to point you in the correct direction. In fact, I cannot tell you the number of times in the past several years that I have been called intolerant. I'm like, what am I intolerant of? And they're like, well, you just can't seem to see things my way. I said, so that makes me intolerant? Because I disagree with you, I am intolerant. Yes. I said, well, then I guess I am. Because that's not what the Word of God says. You see, as we ponder these scriptures today, we need to see the importance of aligning with God's standard. Not our standard, God's standard. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We need to do things God's way, not our own. See, God's perspective offers a way that is truly life-giving. The temporary nature of earthly wisdom versus the eternal truth of God's commands. I don't know about you, but it seems like when I try to freelance things myself, they always, 100% of the time, go wrong. Never fails when I don't do it God's way. You see, aligning values with God ensures not just moral soundness, but also eternal life. You see, you will have moral soundness when you walk in His Word. Your moral compass will be set properly when you walk in God's Word. And yet, we look around and we wonder about the people who fly under the banner of Christianity whose moral compass is somewhere spinning on its axis. Because we're biblically illiterate. We're trying to please society. And we got to stop that. Disobedience leads to spiritual death. Obedience brings life and it brings blessing. See, you and I need to regularly weigh our personal decisions against biblical principles. And we need to encourage accountability in the community to foster spiritual growth and maturity along the way with each and every one of us. Man, that's why getting together and doing discipleship, small group discipleship, has really been a lot of fun. It is where you learn God's Word. You learn in different perspectives along the way, and it's something that sinks in, that you take with you. Man, I want to encourage you, be a part of every discipleship opportunity that you can, whether it's a small group, whether it's a Sunday school class, whatever it may be, that you let God's Word get into you so that when something comes up contrary to God's Word, the red flags wave. By the way, you don't have to know all of the immoral, unbiblical things that take place. If you know the good thing, the right thing, so good that when anything crops up outside of that, there's all kinds of sirens and warnings and red flags going off, and you sit back and go, something don't seem right about this. Yeah, you know what that's called? That's called the Holy Spirit. Bringing to light those scriptures. And what have you heard me say so many times? Pay attention to the tension. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and listen, sometimes you got to step back and say, something don't seem right here. I need to evaluate this a little bit more. When that happens, start evaluating, because those who seek, find. Those who knock, it will be open to them. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, look at what, look at what I almost completely messed up in. And then the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, you listen. Good job. I've often said that so too many times we've got the, I call it the Willy Wonka philosophy. How many of y'all remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? The old one, got Gene Wilder in it, not that new stuff. The good old one. And remember, you know, when the kids would start getting goofy and doing things they weren't supposed to do, when they started breaking the rules and everything, old Willie would say, don't do this, don't touch that, you know, or whatever. And then they would wind up having some sort of problem. Remember the big blueberry girl and the little kid that fell in the chocolate thing and the fizzy lip, all that stuff. And he's like, so then if you notice, there's one point where one of the kids is getting ready to do something that they're not supposed to do, and Willy Wonka's sitting there going, no, don't stop. Because they weren't listening to what he was saying, but yet he still continued to say that. How many times in our lives does the Lord sit back and say, no, don't stop, and we just don't pay attention to him? Sometimes we don't pay attention because we have allowed that subjectivity of the world to seep into our lives. Well, is that really wrong? I will guarantee you that people who know you are Christian, there has been some point along the way where you have had a different viewpoint than they have. And they have looked at you and said, as a Christian, is that really wrong? Tell me where it's wrong or why it's wrong or what God says in regard to that. Now, I hope and pray that when they did that, you were able to point that out, or you were able to connect the spiritual dots in the scriptures. But I guarantee you that there's been a conversation that we've had that we couldn't do that. You couldn't do it. And therefore, they're like, you don't even know what you're talking about. So you have an opinion just like I do. What makes your opinion any better than mine? You see, my thing is, I'm not standing on opinion. I am standing on the fact of the Word of God. You know, here's one of the bigger problems today. I can stand on the fact that the Word of God says it this way, but here's a problem. There's a lot of people today who don't believe that the Word of God truly is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. So therefore, it in itself is subjective in their mind. It's hard to win an argument when it comes down to that. And you have to know the difference. Because you know what? I used to think, I would go in with guns blazing, man. I'm going to win this argument because I'm going to prove it by God's Word. And then I ran into people like that, and it irritated me. Because I wanted to win that battle because I knew I was right. You can't win a battle like that. You know what God always said? Finally said to me, He's like, you are spending so much time trying to win a battle and so little time trying to win people to Jesus. Ow, that stings. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And you know what? We as God's people need to do a better job as God's people in following Him. We have got to become biblically literate. We have to. We have to know the Word of God, not just because what Roy said or what Pastor David said or what somebody else said. It is because thus saith the Word of God. How are you doing in your personal decisions? How are you doing with your moral compass? People sit back and call me old-fashioned. Well, yes, I am, because I still believe in the principles of the Word of God. And the other thing that I usually tell them when I know I'm not going to win in a contest of debate is simply this: someday you will know that I was right, because the Word of God is right. Sometimes I just want God to let me be standing over there in the corner when He's telling them that I was right because I was standing on His Word, and I want to sit back and go, what's He saying? Huh? What? Wait a minute. Run that back again. Roy was right because he stood on the Word of God, not because he had his own wisdom, but because he stood on the Word. That's the difference. You and I think we're smart, we're not. Our wisdom needs to be biblical wisdom. You see, Isaiah's warnings back in that day remain critical for us today, particularly amidst a world that is becoming increasingly subjective in its moral judgment. Folks, there are things that aren't even... I mean, to me, it's almost comical to sit back and see the things that are going on, that and I'm going, what? No. I mean, come on. Even when you can point particular things out. And I'm not just talking about politics. I'm talking about day-to-day life. And the problem is, we got Christians hating each other because they're on a different side of the spectrum. And the bottom line is, sometimes they'll come and say, which one of us is wrong? And I'll say, both of you are wrong, because neither one of you are taking in the biblical perspective. You are walking in your own wisdom. Then they hate me. Wow, boy, it's tough. It's tough to be a Christian. But if you honestly evaluate where you are, Isaiah was given this warning to the people back in his day, and that remains true today. Listen, even to me, I think even more so, because look how morally subjective our society has come. And I'm not even going to go back 30 years. I'm going to go back 10 years. All of a sudden, this is okay. No, it's not okay. Well, why do you say it's not okay? That's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It is, thus saith the Lord God. And what really gets me is when people say, well, you show me in the Bible where God said this. And then I go show them. You know what? They don't like that. You know what they usually say? Well, that's not what that means. I'm like, what do you mean it's not what it means? It is black and white right there. It just proved my point. Well, the Bible's kind of subjective. The Bible is just a bunch of stories from the days gone by. And then I'm usually like, oh, so you don't believe that the Bible is the supreme authority. and I don't get an answer. They won't say no, but they won't say yes, but that's already given me my answer. I'm like, well, you have to believe in this for it to be standard. Yeah, I've used this example before, and I've used it with a lot of other people, but you know, if I grew up my whole life and my mama told me that I was wearing an orange shirt right now, when I went out and somebody said, hey, I like that shirt, and I looked at them and said, well, you know, orange is my favorite color. Do I believe my shirt is orange? Yes, I do. You know why I believe my shirt is orange? Because mama said it was orange. I grew up my whole life, mama telling me that this was orange. So I go out and tell somebody I really like orange is my favorite color. And then they look at me like I got three heads. And they go, brother, your shirt's not orange. And I look at them and say, no. What are you talking about, man? And they say, no, your shirt's not orange. Look, man, that shirt is blue. And I'm like, shirt's not blue. What are you doing? This shirt is orange. Mama told me it was orange. So then the guy goes and gets the spectrum of the rainbow of colors. And you know what? He holds it up to my shirt and he matches it. And guess what color it really is? It's blue. See, I've lived my whole life thinking that that shirt was orange because I had inaccurate information. And how many people today are using God's word in an inaccurate way because they heard it from somebody else but never proved it through his text? We have got to do a better job in society. It is not as subjective as we might think. By the way, when you stand on that, there's going to be a lot of people not like you. You will wear the label intolerant. You will say, people would sit back and say, well, I'll tell you, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be that. I'm like, well, then you have the wrong perspective about what being a Christian is. I've heard this, and I've heard it lately. God wouldn't do this to people. God loves people. So you know, but God also hates sin. And God also said there's a consequence for sin. And God never accepted sin, plain and simple. God forgives, but that doesn't always mean that the consequence of the sin goes away either. And we need to understand that. And yes, God is good, and God is sovereign, and God is faithful, and God is righteous, and God is fair. Isaiah's warnings remain critical today in a world with increasingly subjective morality. We need to regularly spend time in God's word. That's the key to the whole thing. We need to align our understanding of right and wrong with his word, not with our own wisdom. Because what was it those verses said? Let me go back to you, back to them as we close out our time today. Woe, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good. Let me ask this, have you seen people call evil good today? None of you. Where y'all living, under a rock? How many of y'all have seen people call evil good? And go back to verse 20. And good evil. How many of you have seen people call the good things evil? This is right in front of your face. This is right before your eyes. You are seeing this happening. It says, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's complete inversion. It's turned completely upside down. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And he says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. He says, you better be careful. You better start getting your answers from here. And you better start getting your answers from the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. And the more you stand on what is right, the worse people in society are going to hate you. Because I don't agree with their sinful acts, what do? They don't want to hang around me anymore. because you mentioned to somebody that you love or care that they are walking in an ungodly way that is not subjective, thus saith the Lord God. They get mad at you. But I'll tell you, someday, if they listen, they will thank you. And if they don't, someday they will see that you were correct. Wow. Think about this. If the United States of America, in its activity, had to stand before the Lord today, what would the Lord say to them in regard to their subjectivity of His Word? Now, I want to take that one step further. What would He say to you and I? As His children, have we compromised? Have we allowed that subjectivity to come in? I mean, I've had good, solid Christian people come and ask me a theological question that there was no question that it was not biblical. And I'm like, why is this even debatable? You know this. You know the answer to this. You memorized this scripture in Awana. Do you think it changed? You see, that's the whole part of the problem. People say, well, society has changed. You are right. Society has changed. But the gospel hasn't. The Word of God has not. Morality has not. So when you think about the United States of America and its inversion in moral mores, you think about the fact that it is up to you and I to keep them in the correct perspective. The Bible is not subjective. It is absolute. Every jot, every tittle. I don't know where that came from. I know it's old, though. Every jot and tittle. That's what the old guys say. So I believe that. Somebody said, you believe the Bible? I said, man, I believe it from Genesis to maps. All the way through, I believe it. And I believe what it says. And that is our standard. I pray that today you and I would be strengthened as we realize, listen, we're being faced more and more with subjectivity when it comes down to the Bible. Hold your ground. Stand firm. You, by the way, you're going to stand alone. Brad, you guys come on up. You're going to stand alone when it comes down to that in a lot of cases. Hey, if you need somebody to stand with you, call me. I mean, you know, I know there's people in this world who hate me because my biblical stance, and I'm going to be with God a lot longer and I'm going to be with them. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it. I'll stand with you. We'll walk that road. You don't have to be by yourself. Sometimes we just don't like to stand alone. I'll go with you. I don't care if the world hates me or not. What I care about is whether or not the Lord loves me and whether I'm doing His will. I know that sounds harsh. People sit and go, gosh, the preacher's a mean man. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I love you with all the compassion in the world. I learned not to get upset anymore because there are some people that just won't listen. But here's the other thing I've learned. You know what that is? I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what speaks to the heart. The Holy Spirit is what speaks to the life. And all I can be is an agent of the Holy Spirit, just like you. Am I still going to speak my peace? Yep. I've watched people get smacked around for their, not physically, but I've seen people get smacked around for their walk in the Bible. I've seen them get smacked around for their words of God. Right, Kirk? And yet, you know what? They've stood firm. Thanks be to God. Where are you today? Listen, I'm going to ask this question. First of all, are you a believer? Have you trusted in Christ? That's what salvation's all about. It's not about how good you are, how many church services you attended, how many perfect attendance stars you had, how many times you sang in the choir, how many deacons boards you served on, or any of that. It's about whether or not you have a relationship with the Master. Had that conversation with a guy this past week. He said, well, I'm not going to heaven because these people aren't good. I said, people don't go to heaven because they're good. They go to heaven because they're saved. Oh, that was an interesting conversation. But have you trusted in Christ? What does that mean? That means, is there a time in your life when you realize that you're a sinner? You realize one sin can send you to hell, and that every one of us are born sinners. And because of that, there needed to be a way made. And because of that, that's why God sent his only begotten Son, who was perfect, to go to Calvary's cross, to go through the grave, to resurrect, that you and I might be bought with the price of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Through the resurrection, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'm on the winning side. And I pray you are too. That time's coming when we're going to see him face to face. Are you ready? Have you trusted him? What does that mean? Listen, there's a way that prayer is communication with him. If you've never trusted Christ, and the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door today, through prayer, you can simply say, Lord Jesus, today I know that I'm unsaved. And Lord, I pray that you will forgive my sins, that you will take my life and use me for your honor and glory. Help me live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, if you did that, then here's what I can promise you. I can promise you that he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're saved. But that's not the end of it. I'm not saying that there's another element. Hey, the Lord tells us after we have accepted him, he commands us to be baptized. That's not an element of salvation. It's an act of obedience following it. But have you done that? Knock, knock, knock. Maybe you got saved when you were little, but you really didn't get saved till you were older. And you're trying to count that time you got wet when you were 6 years old as your baptism. Well, that don't work. Maybe you need to be obedient to what the Master is telling you today. But the Lord says this, those who follow me, those who are mine, will live for me, will walk in my word. Accepting him is just the beginning. Living for him is a different story. He says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. And I am not preaching salvation by works. Get that out of your mind. I am not. But I am saying the works prove the salvation. That's what that is. Maybe you're here today and you have just been, this is a Roy term, are you ready? Spiritually goofy. Maybe you have bought into a lot of things. Maybe you've been quiet when you shouldn't. Maybe you've been loud when you shouldn't, whatever it may be. And you just need to say, Lord, I need a do-over. I used to play with a thing. I don't even know if they make them anymore. Remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Got the little dials on it. After you messed it all up, what'd you do? Shake it up. And when you shake it up, you get a new slate. Maybe today you need a new slate. And the Father says, I will provide that for you through repentance and confession. Would you do that today? You seek him during this time. Whatever the decision is, I want you to know I'm here. I want you to know this altar is here. And this time of invitation is when the Lord is saying, now's the moment to do business with me, whatever it may be. So you do that as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 295 as Brad comes to lead us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you continue to do business with God. Look, do that soul searching right now. What has the Holy Spirit said to you? Whether it's something that you need to do, whether it was an attaboy, whatever it is, I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. If you came looking for Him, then you've heard Him. Whatever the situation may be, whatever He's putting on your heart, make it right with Him. Be at peace with Him today as you continue to seek Him. This time I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to You, we thank You again for all provision in our lives, and Lord, for the opportunity that You give us to worship You by giving back that portion which You have commanded us to, but Lord, also to be able to give a gift. Lord, we think about Cuba. We think about the miracles that You have done through this church and through the giving, and Lord, all the things that You have slated for us to do. But Lord, it's going to be contingent upon what happens over the next couple of weeks and what our folks rise to the challenge to honor You in giving towards this ministry. So Father, we also pray that You will bless the tithe and the offering, and may we be wise and good stewards of what is Yours, that it might enhance Your kingdom, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope that you were singing along as Vicky played, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Okay, let me give you a couple things before we get you out of here. I can't see, so I'm going to put on my Ben Franklin spectacles here and see what I can do. It's a joy of getting older. At any rate, birthdays. We want to talk about who's having a birthday this week. Today, Chris Sawyer's having a birthday. Annette Joyce will be having a birthday tomorrow. And then this coming Saturday, Brad and Lachelle will be celebrating their anniversary. She's continued to put up with Brad. So be sure to pray for Lachelle as well as Brad. Be sure to give him some love and let him know how much we certainly do appreciate them as we go through not only this week, but always. Just a couple things coming up. My D group will be meeting at 3:30. That's a discipleship group next door. Choir rehearsal is at 4:45. Right here in the sanctuary. Awana is at its regular new time, which is 5:30 to 6:30. It will meet over in the Family Life Center. Tonight, we will not be having the adult Bible study because David and Donna are still sick. So don't worry, you know, I know that y'all are not planning on watching the Super Bowl anyway, but nonetheless, we won't be having Bible study tonight. Pray for David and Donna as they continue to recover, and pray that they will be back on their feet just as soon as possible. Band rehearsal, not tonight, okay? So if you're part of the band, take a break, enjoy it, and you'll resume next week, I presume. If not, we'll let you know. So at any rate, keep those things in mind. Tomorrow, Monday, Steve Kelly's D group meets at 6. And then this coming weekend, on this coming Saturday, on the 15th, we do have our Valentine's banquet. That is from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. A lot of good things planned, a lot of exciting things planned, and we're looking forward to that. Please sign up in the Narthex. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Narthex is a fancy way of saying vestibule, all right? That thing right behind you. Just sign up so we'll know how many folks to prepare for. And then we've been announcing for Bethel United Methodist Church that every second Friday at 8:30, Bethel United Methodist Church is providing a veterans breakfast over there on Hall River Road. So if you're a veteran, there's breakfast that'll be provided to you every second Friday of the month at 8:30. Ladies Connections meeting, the next one's going to be March the 5th at 4 o'clock p.m. right here in the Family Life Center. And then Ladies Breakfast, the next one will be the 12th of this month, which that's coming up this week. Cagney's Restaurant at 9 a.m. on the 12th. Finally, continue to remember as we prepare for our mission trip, which is February 28th through March the 7th. And we look forward to what God's going to have in store for us to do as we get a chance and an opportunity to serve Him. Now, I want to say this before I close in prayer. There are a lot of needs that are going on right now. I want to mention, obviously, this coming Saturday is also going to be Helen Ledford's memorial service right here at the church. Visitation will be from 10 to 11. The service will start at 11. Then the family is going to receive friends for about an hour afterwards as well. So, if you so can, please come and to Helen's memorial service this coming Saturday. Service is actually at 10, visitation before, visitation afterwards. Also, continue to remember the family. Helen's daughter is Lenore Morales. She married to Dallas. So not only is she dealing with the loss of her mother, her mother-in-law passed away a couple of days ago as well. Dallas's mom went on to be with the Lord. So they're in the process. So Dallas and Lenore have both lost their mothers in just a matter of weeks. So continue to keep them in your prayers along the way. Also, we want to keep Mark Boone in your family. His brother Mickey went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning, right? Yesterday morning. I enjoyed having a chance to meet and talk with Mickey. So just be praying for Mark and his family in the loss of Mickey. And then we also have several others that we really need to remember in our prayers. We've got, most of y'all remember Jimmy Queen and Billy Queen, their sister, their older sister Carolyn, is in Beacon Place at Hospice, and she just has a matter of days left before she enters into eternal rest. We also need to remember Joanne and John Willard. A lot of y'all around here remember Joanne was our administrative assistant for many, many years. John is in his final few days of his life as well, so we want to continue to remember those folks. There's a lot of things that are going on right now that are dealing with eternity. And I'm sure I probably have forgotten something because I'm just me. But please, please, please remember these families. Remember what's taking place. Remember what's going on. And may we be able to be a comfort as only we can to those in a time of need. Okay, a lot of folks that are still recovering from sickness and surgeries. We've just been hit hard lately, but Satan ain't gonna win. Amen. All right. So know what we got going, know what we got to do. Let's all stand. I know you've been sitting for a while. Let me let you stand up, and I'll dismiss us in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for these moments that we've had to be able to come into your house. We pray that your word has permeated our heart today, and Lord, that you have spoken to us in a way that's drawn us closer to you or given us some corrective measures that we need to make in our own life. So Lord, right now, I just pray that you will help us to stand firm on your word and stand firm in you in a world who doesn't care for you. And Lord, may we never see your morality, biblical morality, as subjective, but rather as an absolute according to the word of God. Give us grace and strength as we go from here. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you when we see you.